The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.
Yeah. What's happening? And good evening or good day to you all, wherever you are and whenever you decide to listen or watch, man. Thank you so much. Wrestling. That's what we're here to talk about. And finally, things are heating up the way we expected them to. So we got to talk about it, and we got to talk about it like nobody else in the world. So get ready. It is time for the first Black Champ podcast, and I am the pick. Yeah, podcast Intercontinental Champion, Camp from the Port.
And I am JR Bang. Make sure you rate, like, subscribe, download, wherever you get your favorite podcast. Barbershed Network is the home. Also, you go ahead and check us out on anywhere and everywhere you listen to your favorite podcast. Just subscribe to the Barbershed Network. And if you want to go directly to our podcast, just search hashtag DFBCPOD. Yeah. Follow us on everything, DFBC.POD. Get the merch. You see Camp with the red on. I'm celebrating today because the Bears are now 4-2. Bet out. So, you know, I'm already celebrating this shit. 4-2 going into the bye, getting ready for the DMV. You know, Jaden Daniels versus Caleb Williams and all of that. So I'm extra excited. But you know what else I'm excited for, Camp?
What's that?
Speaking of hip hop, shouts out to my homie Bree, who sent me over this email, and I know that y'all might have seen it in on social. But shouts out to Westside Gunn. We've been talking about on this podcast for a minute about how we see Westside Gunn at all these events, but he don't get the lower third treatment.
Facts.
He don't get the lower third treatment. We don't see him with the, hey, these are all of the celebrities who are in attendance.
Right. Travesty.
Yeah, it's a travesty. We've talked about that. But he got his own joint that is going on. So The Hills Have Eyes 3 will be coming out featuring DJ Premier and Pete Rock. But also from a wrestling side, he is officially launching his pro wrestling company, Fourth Rope. Hey. And they're doing an event November 2nd here in Chicago at the UIC Forum.
Nice.
So Westside Gunn, he's had a lot of stuff going on in the news lately. He's become the creative director at Saucony. Did I say Saucony right? Because I hear people over East say Saucony one way, and we say it another way. But he's the creative director of the shoot.
Right. So I'm glad you said this because it's always been pronounced two different ways depending on, I guess, where you're from. Because I think overseas they say Saucony.
Yeah.
But my cousin Trey, who put me on back when we were in the 90s, he was like Saucony's. So I've always said Saucony's. I got three pair in the house. They Saucony's to me.
Hey.
Because I was like, hey, man, maybe if I had the ill Idris Elba accent, it would be Saucony's. But
right.
I'm from Illinois, and my cousin from Clarksdale, Mississippi. So they Saucony's.
There you go. So shouts out to Westside Gunn to Saucony. But he has announced the first match for the Hills Have Eyes 3, Steel Praying. It's going to be a Steel Praying match, a steel cage match. Featuring Sami Callihan versus Nick Gage. If you know anything about Sami Callihan, if you know anything about Nick Gage, if you know anything about those two and being inside of a steel cage, I'm going to tell you what's going to happen, y'all. It's going to be a lot of blood. It's probably going to be some glass. It's going to be some tacks.
Yeah, man.
It's going to be a lot of stuff that goes on inside of that cage. So if you ain't with the blood and guts, stay for the hip hop.
You know?
This right here, when you talk about these two right here who are legendary in the sport of wrestling, especially when it comes to death matches.
Yeah.
Yeah. Y'all want to make sure y'all get y'all tickets to the Fourth Rope, West Side Guns, Steel Praying, the Hills Have Eyes 3 at USC Forum, November 2nd. That's on a Saturday.
Awesome.
Y'all make sure y'all be there. I'll be up in attendance. First Black Champ be there. And man, hip hop, wrestling, surprise guests, some art. All bunch of stuff going on, man.
Shout out
to West Side Gun.
Yeah, man. That's awesome. You know, I mean, another black man, another black wrestling fan getting in on the business side of wrestling is a really big deal, no matter at what level. You know what I'm saying? Obviously, we cover the WWE the most, but anytime we got people that's looking like us, getting themselves into this business on any angle, yo, it's a major win, and that just lets them know that, hey man, we really here, we really do this, we really love this, and man, salute, props to West Side Gun. We gonna support.
And TNA is gonna be involved as well, according to the press release. TNA will feature several major wrestlers at the event. Knockouts World Champion Jordan Grace, Moose, Joe Hendry. Is going to be in attendance, or may be in attendance, as well as AJ Francis, Santana, Masha Slamovich. So, no, shouts out to TNA being connected with this major event.
Yes, awesome. TNA, man. Hey, they were the ones at one point, they had the most and the earliest black champs, right? Is that the stat?
Yeah. R-Truth became the first NWA, Black NWA World Heavyweight Champion, defeated Ken Shamrock, and he was the second, I believe, champion underneath the TNA umbrella, second or third. So, shouts out to West Side Gun, the Hills Have Eyes 3, plus the Steel Praying match, Sami Callihan and Nick Gage. I want to be front row for that.
Yeah.
I've said on this show, I'm not really the death match guy.
Yeah, I'm definitely not.
I'm not. But as much as I've seen in life, I need to see that in person. I don't need tickets in the back. I want to be nervous about shrapnel. Like glass. I want Nick Gage to give me the chair and let me hit Sami Callihan with it. Like that this is my petition to West Side Gun. Let me be involved in a match in some capacity. I'll take a bump.
Oh, okay.
Oh yeah, I'll take a bump. Look, shouts out to Leon Rogers and Jay Washington, who's in Hims commercials.
Yeah, hey. I thought I see. I was like, yo,
Jason, too. It's two of them. It's one where you see the back of his head, and if you've seen this nigga enough, you know the back of his head.
Yeah.
Because he got a burn from when he was a shorty, but then he turned and said, I'm like, oh shit, it's Jay. But then it's a second one where his head his computer's on his lap, and the white chick walk up like, nah, we fucking tonight. And then they start talking about him. So shouts out to Jay Washington. The only person I know that is in a Hims commercial, the only person I ever know is in a Hims commercial. If you use it, my brother, is okay.
Yeah, you know, hey, listen, man. Hey, it don't matter how you lay the pipe. It's the fact that you do it.
You know what I'm saying? So, but Leon Rogers is in a wrestling match. And I remember me and Leon and Jay talking about it. And he was like, yo, you can never say that professional wrestlers are not athletes, because I ain't never been as tired after that match in my life. But no, I think I want to be front row for a death match. Hmm. I want to see what the hell is going on. Hmm. I want to be a, like, you know, they'll go up in the crowd and they'll give like a member of the crowd something. Yeah! Like, I want to be able to, yeah! So, since I'm going to be there, like, my petition to Westside now is to let me hit somebody. Mm. And I'll take a bump. Like, I'll get hit in the back with a chair. Okay. I don't want to get DDT'd or nothing. Like, I don't want to do that. But I'll take a chair shot.
Yeah.
Like, but in the back, just yeah. And they're like, oh, no, he hit a member of the crowd. Oh, my goodness. Like, I'll do that. I will also, man, he probably got commentators and shit. He already did it. But I'll take a chair shot.
Okay. Okay.
I'll take a chair shot. That's I'll be like a backstage person, too. Like, I want to do something.
Check it out. How, as far as the death match go, how far are you willing to go? I know you said chair shot, but that's what it. If he was like, oh, God, he has a stapler. He's giving it to a fan.
Nah, I ain't doing
would you
that
staple
shit.
His head? Like,
nah, I'm straight.
Okay. I just want to sleep. I'm just trying to get a gauge.
I'll hit somebody with a chair. I'll get hit with a chair. I'm not stapling nobody. I'm not stapling nobody. I'm not hitting folks with bathroom lights.
Oh, he has a scone. A scone.
Like, I'll pass nigga Rich. Like, I'll pass nigga Rich. Like, based off of what we saw at Bad Blood, I ain't going to Rich, fam. Like, you know, here's some screws. Here's some tacks. But I ain't stapling nobody, geez. Like, that's okay.
Stay with somebody's mad.
Man, no, nah, that's because then you got to press down on it hard. Then you see that shit, you're like, oh, no. And it's not squeamish around blood. Not. Yeah. But it's just certain things. It's like, man, that just feel weird.
Yeah.
It feel weird grabbing an industrial stapler and just stapling somebody.
Yeah, that's wild.
That's wild. And that's why I want to be front row. That's why I want to be front row. I want to see that in person. I want to see all of what y'all doing. I want to see you power bombing somebody, attacks. I want to see the blood start to come out and be like, yo, y'all really doing this shit? Like, if the glass come out, I want to see somebody get power bombed in a sheet of glass. That's going to happen in this match. Yeah, like, if y'all have ever seen GCW on social or a match in general, it's like a prerequisite for Nick Gage matches.
Man. Yeah.
Like, no, you got to have about 5 foreign objects.
Yeah, he's not a game. I don't see how they do it and why, but he's not a game. Like, him and David Arquette, man, I'd be like, yo, y'all those kind of white boys.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't even grow up with those kind of white boys. Like, ones that, like, they might try some things, like, oh, they fall off, like, skateboards or whatever, maybe try to jump off, like, a building, like, but, like, the first story. But those kind of white guys, that's different.
I want to be there for that. I want to see what's to that. Also, big news out here. Shouts out to Logan, who just dropped it up in the chat. It looks like Bryan Danielson is officially retired from in-ring competition, at least full-time in-ring competition. They had Wrestle Dream yesterday, and Jon Moxley. Is it fair to call Jon Moxley the greatest AEW wrestler of all time?
I mean, yeah, shit, at this point, yeah.
He's definitely the most decorated.
Yeah, absolutely, and that's by far. And I didn't see it happening this way. I honestly did not see it happening this way. But, I mean, hey, at the same time, Kenny Omega is not necessarily as healthy as I think everyone expected him to be as we're right in 2024 and we're closing out. So, but, yeah, man. Hey, salute to Daniel Bryan. Or, I'm sorry, Bryan Danielson. Both of them. You know what I'm saying? I'll never forget personally, outside of the ring, watching Total Divas and realizing that Bryan Danielson didn't even have a damn resume. Like, he literally did nothing with his life besides wrestling. He never worked at McDonald's. He didn't even do construction for that year, that one summer. Like, he's only wrestled. So for him to retire and still to be a reasonably young guy too, man, that's awesome. Wow. Salute to living your dream and only your dream. It's fire. Holy. Salute.
But he lost the AEW championship to John Moxley. Yuta Wheeler also turned on Darby Allin and them, aligning with, I think it's going to be called Switchblade Conspiracy. John Moxley's new group is going to be called very American History Axis.
Yeah.
Not with the racism, because Yuta wouldn't be on the team. But it feels like the group feels American History X without the racism. Like, we're like nobody. And we just wear regular shit. Like, we wear stuff that'd be in what's the shit? A bunkhouse match. They wear, John Moxley and his group wear 2024 bunkhouse match gear. This white shirt, tank top, jeans, shoes, tape their fists. That's it.
You know, and new from the Bunkhouse Buck Fall Collection. We have we got the 3-inch diameter beater on.
Yeah.
Like, versus the standard 1.25.
And what I need my name on my ass for, you know? What's some Chris Jericho tights for? But let me ask you a question. Let me ask you if I'm overthinking. So normally when it's somebody's last match, you'll get thank you, Brian. And that person like cry. They might leave their boots in the middle of the ring. They wave and shit. They didn't do this for Brian Danielson. They put a plastic bag over his face, tried to kill him.
Hey, man.
Am I wrong for thinking that's not the way you give somebody thank you for their last match? Like, put a Ziploc bag over their face and try to kill them?
Hey, man, listen, man. They didn't forget that Captain Planet shit he pulled a few years back, man. You know what I'm saying? You got, hey, look, bro. You like the duck with the six pack around his neck, bro. What you want to do? Yeah, no, hey, you know what? I'll say this. I mean, no, I think there was a cooler way. I think there wasn't just a. I don't even want to say respectful, because I could see Brian Danielson wanting to be those guys to be like, yeah, I mean, they already know it's my last match, so like, let's just end it. Like, I need to get some get back one day. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
just in case I gotta come back, you know?
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Like, to me, and again, we can always blame Ric Flair for retirements and how they don't really like matter anymore wrestling, but for me, I look at that and I'm like, oh, he'll probably be doing he's probably just retired from full-time competing, and maybe he's just their PLE attraction now, you know what I'm saying? So when things end like that, it's like, huh. And there's so many different changes happening in AEW behind the scenes now, as well as roster-wise. Yeah. For all we know, he might just retire for the rest of 2024.
Yeah, and just get this surgery done. And
yeah.
See how thing works, and then I'm just going to come out of nowhere and knee John Moxley.
Right.
While he's on this 10th AEW championship reign. Hey, Damian got a question, and I think it's a good question. Okay. Would you say that Daniel Bryan belongs, or Bryan Danielson belongs, on the Mount Rushmore of wrestling?
I think depending on how old you are, yes. For me, no. And I only say that because even under the act of the indie wrestlers that made it, you know, at the peak. I don't think he's 100% the guy to represent them, even though I won't argue it. I just don't think that we look at wrestling, he's just in that four.
So I have a caveat. He's not on my top wrestler Mount Rushmore because I think wrestling goes to more than just in ring, right? But he's the greatest technical wrestler of all time. To me,
Bret Hart gonna be on your ass.
I don't care. To me, Daniel, if this was 1996 and Vince McMahon or Jim Ross or not Todd Grisham, but the other weird white dude that they
had. Todd Pettingill?
Yeah, Todd Pettingill. If they were Doc Hendricks, if they were saying that this person is the best scientific wrestler of all time, technical wrestler, Daniel Bryan is in that list. Okay. Daniel Bryan is in the Bret Hart. I know y'all don't like saying his name, but Chris Benoit, Dean Malenko, and he's in that range to me where if you're talking about Kurt Angle, if you're talking about pure technical wrestling, there's nobody better than him.
Okay. I'm not mad at that either. I'm not mad at that.
He would be in that Mount Rushmore. It'd be him, Bret Hart, Chris Benoit, Kurt Angle. Just pure technical wrestling ability, boom.
So, I'm sorry, real quick. So, just to be clear, you don't even have Bret Hart in the top three anymore because wrestling has evolved so much.
No, even it's Daniel Bryan, Bryan Danielson, Bret Hart,
okay,
Chris Benoit, Kurt Angle. I wouldn't put it in order.
Okay.
But I might put him through thinking about it. I would say Daniel Bryan. That's wild, Daniel. I would say Daniel Bryan, Kurt Angle, Bret Hart, Chris Benoit, the greatest technical wrestlers that I've ever seen. That's the Mount Rushmore he'd be on in.
Okay.
Or on. When you're talking about overall, when you're thinking about the whole thing, no.
Yeah.
But when we're talking about technical wrestling, you can't have a conversation without those four. You can even add Eddie Guerrero up in there. I said Dean Malenko's name. You can add him in there. You can add Owen Hart in that. He can be in a conversation with some people too. But that's why I also said that I miss that art of technical wrestling. I miss watching WWE or WCW and say, yo, we got our main wrestlers, our star wrestlers, but then you got the technical wrestlers. You have, and I guess you can put Ric Flair in that conversation too. William Regal. I like watching William Regal matches. Steven Regal and William Regal matches. I like seeing, we're about to get our technical wrestling on. You get the submission holds and all of that stuff up in there. I like that. But he would be in that Mount Rushmore. He wouldn't be with the Hogans, even though it's fucked, dude. Stone Colds, Shawn Michaels, The Rock. He wouldn't be in there. To me, the only two people that float in that in both of those categories is Bret Hart and Kurt Angle. And the messed up thing about it is even though Kurt Angle was crazy, I'd be willing to say that Kurt Angle leaving the WWE for TNA because of why he left, it's the only reason why we don't talk about Kurt Angle like we should when it comes to not only great technical wrestlers, but when you think about it, Kurt Angle might be top three.
Yeah, no, hey, listen. It definitely, it's skewed, especially depending on when you started watching wrestling. But literally, Kurt Angle is the definition of, you put me anywhere, and I am absolutely the best person doing this. And we thought we were going to get that from other people. Like, we thought that was going to happen with Bret Hart. We assumed that would happen with Shawn Michaels. We think that would happen with The Undertaker. But no, it really did happen. I mean, even with Stunning Steve and Superstar Steve and Stone Cold Steve Austin, there is still, like, there's some consistency. And shout to Jesse the Body Ventura for making one of the greatest proclamations in wrestling ever by calling Stunning Steve Austin the wrestler of the 90s. But for me personally, I totally agree with you, Kurt Angle being top three, because look what he did wherever he was, broken neck or not, perked up or not, can't even make left and right turns with my body or not. Like, he's still
DNA or WWE.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Like, so I have no doubt, and I have no doubt he would have been that guy in ECW had they not crucified the person while he was in the audience.
Yeah, and shouts out to Hood watching. If you were an avid TNA watcher, like I was, Kurt Angle best matches are there. Mm. And it's not like he had bad matches in the WWE.
Right.
Like, you go watch that match between him, Samoa Joe, and AJ Styles. That's one of the greatest wrestling matches I've seen. Even when things wasn't moving correctly, he was having good matches with Bobby Lashley and others up in TNA. His last run was filled with a lot of dope matches and stuff. And this is Kurt Angle, who got to turn all the way around.
Yeah.
Like, I had a conversation with Kurt Angle. I was like, damn, this nigga got turned all the way around.
Yeah.
Like, shouts out to you, but damn. And one of the coolest wrestlers that I've ever met in my life, too. Hey. That day he came up to the... I brought Kurt Angle.
There you go.
To the radio talk station in St. Louis. I brought him there.
Talk to him for real.
The CEO of Bellator, the CFO, excuse me, of Bellator was like, yo, like, y'all excited about Kurt Angle? I didn't think that. Like, no. We know who that is, Jack. We know that. And you want to go medal with a broken freaking neck, G. It's a three eyes. All right? No, that we know who he is. So yeah. So shouts out. Shouts out to Kurt Angle. Shouts out to we bring technical wrestling back.
Yeah, man.
Bring it back.
The thing is, when they realize that it don't involve 50 super kicks, bang, they're gonna be upset with that comment.
That's
just saying. They're gonna be upset.
Well, you mean to tell me we can't super kick somebody? It's two super kick limit.
You know what I'm saying?
Well, why don't we change the name of the super kick back to the Savai kick? Yeah. We can't do 20 super kicks, but we can do 20 Savai kicks. And then, before we move on, remember back when you used to watch wrestling and it wasn't even called like super kicks, it was Savai kicks,
yeah,
or martial arts kick.
Yep, or that brief time when the Hatchmaker's out, the crescent kick.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? You only see it four times, maybe.
Yeah. Yeah, you see, and they all, like, all of the Asians have to have one, have to do it. Like, you could be bigger. You could be Kensuke Sasaki.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a name y'all need to look up. Yeah. Former United States champion.
You know what I'm saying?
Kensuke Sasaki. You know what I'm saying? Look it up. But it, you could be the stoutest, the biggest. You got to do a martial arts kick.
Oh, yeah.
And then when you do it, you got to do it like Bruce Lee do it. Another way of wrestling, subtly racist.
Yeah. You know, but they also...
When the Asian did it, the Asians was called the martial arts kick.
Yeah.
Samoan. But But when a white person did it, it was a savate kick. Subtle.
Yeah, hey, listen. And then the Samoans kind of told it the lion. Because, you know, the Haku might do the, but when he still do the kick, they like, oh, savate kick or crescent kick. Yeah. Or, you know what I'm saying? It was just, you know, at least they didn't say, like, you know, I don't want to say nothing that could get us. But y'all get subtle, what I'm saying.
Subtle racism. We told y'all about Tito Santana, the flying burrito, Chico. Sometimes watching old wrestling is a little.
Yeah. Just like, as a matter of fact, yeah, you couldn't do that without offending some people in the first 10 rows now.
Oh, look. Go watch Jerry the King Lawler on a Raw episode in 1994.
Yo. Yo, Jerry Lawler. You can tell he was the king where he was at, like in real life.
Because you got like, a disclaimer.
I'm gonna tell y'all exactly how I feel. Because I won Memphis. Right, hey, shout out to Ole too, you know what I'm saying?
Shout out to Ole and say, hey, so Saudi Mania, what, 7?
I think it's Saudi Mania 6.
6 or 7. Well, we'll count it sooner or later. But it's set with this crown jewel championship, which makes you the champion of champions because Saudi Arabia said so.
Hey, there you go.
All it is, y'all. And the crown jewel champions to crown a champion of champions, so to speak, that's now set. Liv Morgan versus Nia Jax. So heel versus heel. It's not attractive at all to me. Well, you now got, hey, I saw somebody called Raquel Gonzalez, Miss MAGA, on Twitter today.
Yo, Miss MAGA.
Boy, I damn near fell out of the damn chair. But now that she's there, Raquel is there to help out Liv, her former WWE Women's Tag Team Champion partner. I guess they have an insurance policy, wink, wink, for Nia Jax. But then we have Cody Rhodes versus Gunther, the match that I've been waiting for since the Royal Rumble. But let's start with the ladies first. Mm-hmm. How excited are you for Liv and Nia to lock up?
Not at all. To be clear, I'm at like 0.5%, and that's only because I like looking at them in general. I expect this to be exactly what it's supposed to be. David versus Goliath, or, you know, Danielle versus Goliath, I guess that would be.
Goliath.
You know, yeah, Goliath. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? So Danielle versus Goliath. You know, and then you got Raquel Rodriguez out there, and she'll be wearing leather, showing off the lats, you know what I'm saying? The only thing they can do for me is make my other guarantee coming true. Listen, you know what's going to make this match for me? Tiffany Stratton cashing in and pinning one of them. It don't even matter. You got them in the same match at the same time now. Just pin one of them. Other than that.
What if they both knocked that on the ground and she come in the ring and she just like, which one? Who you pinning?
I say she definitely go for Liv, but if she want to be Tiffy 2-time, I'm here for it.
Hey, that's an interesting thing that could happen at Saudi Mania. Both women could be on the ground out of it, and she would have to choose.
Mm-hmm.
What? Okay. Here's some shit that the WWE will do. Here's some shit. Thinking about that, here's some shit that the WWE would do. She would come in, she would cash in, she would give the referee the briefcase, Samantha will announce that this is now a championship match. And she will go and pin Nia Jax. And then Nia Jax at two would kick out by lifting her up and throwing her on Liv Morgan. And she would end up beating Liv Morgan for the title. WWE would do.
Yep.
Then Triple H, because we know you be watching this shit, because you, we know you, brother.
Yeah.
We know you. This is, don't do this. Don't take that. Right?
Yeah.
If you do that, we know it came directly from First Blood Shed.
Yeah, absolutely. Nobody's talking about the match this early. No.
Yeah. Right. Y'all ain't even came up with a finish yet, my G. So there's that. I am not excited for this match at all because while I don't mind heel versus heel matches, not these two.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't. Yeah. The only thing that has me excited is what we just said. These two are two heels that should be teaming up. Should be like, hey, girl, hey. They should not be wrestling.
Yeah. Yeah, man. It's, you know, much like the, what was it? The Raw versus SmackDown Survivor Series. It gives me that vibe and I don't care. I don't think either one of them have something to gain from the match. Like, Liv can't show you how much she's improved. Nia can't look any more dominant. So this is a whole wash. Literally, I'm looking for Tiffany Stratton to be the highlight of this segment.
Fully clothed.
Yeah, I guess. Huh?
Then we have the match that I've been waiting for since the Royal Rumble, since they was the last two participants. And I said, hey, there's money to be made here.
Mm-hmm.
That's Cody Rhodes versus Gunther. Now, this match, I am very interested in because I think there is no champion of champions for the women. Not because they're women, don't try that.
Yeah.
I think that the WWE does a great job for both brands to stack the women's division to where we're rarely looking at the women's division and saying, oh, ain't nobody over here. Like, no, they're pretty good on all angles.
Yeah.
But we will say SmackDown's opponents for their champion is stronger than Raw's. You look at Gunther, and Gunther just beat Sami Zayn. We knew that was going to happen.
Really good match, too, by the way.
And, right, very, yes. After Sami Zayn and after Cody, who you wrestling? CM Punk.
Yeah.
After that is Drew McIntyre. But it's not Solo Sikoa, Roman Reigns, shit, Jacob Fatu, all lined up. Randy Orton, Kevin Owens, all lined up to say, hey, Cody.
Yeah.
And that's even why I have an issue with Cody's title reign, because he's never been in a position where you was like, oh, he might lose this bitch tonight. Whereas with Gunther, you saw him go up against Sami Zayn at WrestleMania. Sami won.
Mm-hmm.
But my question to you is, who do you feel needs this more? Cody or Gunther?
Cody needs it more because this is the first legit opponent that does not care about him. However, spoiler alert, I will not be picking Cody in my prediction when we do the prediction show.
Hey, we both won't. Because I think Gunther needs it more. Mm-hmm. Even though Gunther is Gunther and he did what he did for the Intercontinental Championship, mm-hmm. I've always looked at the World Heavyweight Championship as the Super Intercontinental Championship. It's secondary. It's the Super Intercontinental Championship. It's the undisputed Universal, whatever that bitch name is now. Then it's the Super Intercontinental Championship. Then it's the Intercontinental Championship. Then it's the U.S. title. That's the pecking order for me when it comes to the championship.
No, you're right.
Boom, 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 boom. If you want to bring in the NXT title, I think you would say Undisputed, whatever the name of that joint is, Super Intercontinental Champion, Intercontinental Champion, U.S. Champion, NXT Champion.
Yeah, for sure. For sure.
North American Champion. With that being said, this is the only chance they got to remove the Super Intercontinental Champion moniker. So he needs to win it. And it ain't even got to be clean. He just got to win it. Gunther just got to be able to go on there and talk his shit. Now, I already see the play. And I'm giving out my other guarantee early. Goldberg is going to cost Gunther the championship. So that's why it's not going to be like straight. I ain't picking Cody to like straight win. Right. He's going to win. But it's going to be because Goldberg is going to cost Gunther the championship. And you know what comes next after that, Kemp?
Unless we got Bret Hart calling him Bill Goldberg, I don't want to hear shit else. But I know where you're going, though. I can't play naive for too long.
At Survivor Series, big meaty men bumping meat.
Yeah. I mean, hey, if that's what we want to say, you know what I mean?
3 minutes of fun. 3 minutes of fun. Because it's going to be Gunther versus Goldberg at the Survivor Series. Oh, you can book that right now.
Yeah, man. Yeah. Unfortunately, yeah. it's definitely it's unavoidable because, when is Goldberg sold a match for you? You know what I mean? So, like, they didn't do none of that for no reason. Like
Lucia Punk, Andrew going to be out for some weeks. But after the Survivor Series, we gonna give Gunther and CM Punk a run. Because we might want to do CM Punk versus Seth Rollins at WrestleMania. He need the belt. So, hey, Goldberg, I know you want to do that final match, right? You want to do that final match, right? So we gonna set it up where Gunther gonna talk some shit. You know how Saudi Arabia love you, right? So you're going to come out there at Crown Jewel and you're going to spear Gunther. And then that means in Vancouver, we're going to have you versus Gunther for the WWE World Heavyweight Championship. That's and it's going to be a three-minute match. It's going to be a three-minute match. But Gunther going to go over. And that's going to be your retirement match. Can you say no to that, Goldberg? How can you say no to that, Bill?
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Bill Goldberg.
I know who can say no to that, though. Us.
Yeah.
The internet wrestling community and us.
Yeah. we don't want to see that, matter of fact.
I don't want to see that shit.
Yeah. Yeah, I do not
like that. Do we really want to see Gunther versus Goldberg?
No.
Triple H, don't do that shit at Survivor Series.
Yeah, man. Hey, listen. They could have ran this out. First of all, look, the fact that Bill Goldberg injured himself walking down the ramp at Saudi Mania 4 should have been enough. But no, here we go. Gonna tote him out here one more time. So, yeah, whatever, you know. Wish I cared. Hey, wish I cared.
He was asking for that farewell match. The world was treating his ass like Paul Pierce and Draymond Green.
Hey, oh, you thought you was getting the Kobe run, nigga? They don't love you like Kobe, nigga. You ain't Kobe, nigga.
They don't love you like that. Yeah, well, the WWE loves Goldberg like that. They gonna give him that retirement match, that farewell match. I know y'all don't want to hear that shit. I know Hood probably looking at. He probably turned it off as soon as I said that shit. See, goddamn Goldberg versus Gooch that Survivor Series.
Hey, and we with you, Hood.
We honestly with you. No, nobody want to see that shit. But Goldberg ain't doing that shit for a one-off to put over somebody just off of that. No, he won his retirement match.
Yeah.
Let's get ready for Survivor Series.
Yuck.
Oh, man.
That's all I got.
Oh, man. Let's move on to Kevin Owens. Look, I even named this pod today. Kevin Owens misunderstood. Hey, man. Kevin Owens, this heel run is going to be interesting. But is he really a heel? Should Kevin Owens be mad at Cody Rhodes and Randy Orton in this case? Cody Rhodes was out here wrestling with the ops. Should he had put Cody Rhodes in violation? Does Cody Rhodes deserve a 10 to the eye, no blink?
Yeah, absolutely he does. Absolutely he does. Cody, again, man, see? Kevin Owens is a representation of all of us. That's tired of Cody Rhodes making new friends, trying to fight friends, while he just hold on his title with his nice suits and his cute dog. And we tired of that shit. And, you know, we can't forget that Cody's last title defense was against Kevin Owens. But who was the person that was supposed to get the shot before Kevin Owens? Is like, what? It's Roman Reigns. And so now not only is Cody Rhodes, not only has he beat Kevin Owens for the title, and it's like, oh man, I should have ruined him. I should have ended him when I had the chance. So, you know, he already eaten that crow. But now, you're just going to team up with the dude that tried to ruin my career the last 3 years to fight his own family. No, let his family whoop his ass like they whooped my ass before you got here. How about you do that? Like, you can't even do that. So now, still walk around with this title. Rock is back. Like, basically, you in the bloodline now. Now you the one. Now you the one.
You staying in the four horse.
You know what I'm saying? So now I got to beat your ass now. Because now this is disrespect. How you going to call me a friend and team with Roman Reigns after you seen what he did to me the last 3 years? Like how? Like, nah.
And Randy, how you going to allow it?
Hey. Now this is where it gets a little muddy. I feel Randy Orton. I've been saying what he did since junior high. Hey, fam, I'm not breaking up no fight because if you hit me, then we fight. Because I ain't doing nothing. Like, I'm trying to help you out. Don't put your hands on me. Don't hit me because you mad at him. So I get it. But on the flip side, I look at it like, hey, man, I mean, I get I hit you, but my bad on Kevin Owens' part. But he was like, but you ain't hit him. You just put your hands on him and just got him out the way. You felt the need to hit me. So Kevin Owens wrong for the Randy Orton situation. I ain't going to lie. But, you know, he could always be like, hey, look, Corey didn't try to put his hands on me because he know what I do. Like, you know what I do. Like, you act like you don't know what I do.
I agree with you to a point. If we thinking about this in wrestling terms, Kevin Owens looking at him like, fam, you're the same nigga that punted Stephanie McMahon. What are we doing here, fam?
Right, and you trying to stop me?
You trying to stop me, and you whoop people's ass for less. You turn on people for less. Like, this dude out here kicking it with the dude that put you out.
Yeah.
For damn near 2 years. They whole family almost put you out. Now, I gave niggas a pass on the Jey Uso shit.
Yeah, that's true. That's
I gave
true.
Niggas a pass that. But like now we tripping. Like Rome was a different story. He was Jey was acting on orders of his tribal chief. The tribal chief is the one who sent the order.
Mm-hmm.
Stop playing with me, fam. Like, stop playing with me. Which definitely, in my opinion, makes WrestleMania interesting. So to put a lot of this together, some news outlet said that The Rock told the WWE that he wasn't going to be available for WrestleMania. Somebody asked him on Instagram, and one of the rare moments of him commenting, The Rock said that that was bullshit.
Mm.
You got John Cena, who is starting, will be starting his retirement tour soon. You have CM Punk, who won the Drew McIntyre feud. You have Seth Rollins, who we just itching for them two to fight.
Yeah.
You have Gunther. You have a number of wrestlers that could, depending on how you put them together, could be good, a great WrestleMania night one main event, because depending on what happens, you're sure to get Roman Reigns in some type of capacity and The Rock in some type of capacity.
Yeah.
If I know it's early. Mm-hmm. Know it's October. I know it's early. But if Kent from the Port was running the WWE, who would be fighting for the Undisputed Championship? Who would be fighting for the Super Intercontinental Championship? What the world heavyweight championship.
I mean, hey, look, man, you know me, even though it is WrestleMania caliber to me, the real money for Cody is, excuse me, Cody versus Randy Orton. And in that time, I'm building up Jacob Fatu. And I don't know who that's against, because I also feel that Roman versus Jacob Fatu is WrestleMania caliber. You know what I mean? So there's a lot to be desired, but at the same time, man, you don't want to give all your heat out and then you got night one of WrestleMania looking like Fastlane. You know what I mean? So, and for Gunther, now I'll say this, because and I'm glad we were all wrong, because I also, like, just how you want to see Cody Gunther, I want to see Gunther Bron Breakker. Like, I want to see that, and if there is a. I don't know what's the road to turning one of them face, because I love them both as heels. So, you know, you run into that issue off the rip. But that and no, you know what? No. Let me say this, because they're obviously going to blur the lines here. They're going to blur the lines, as The Rock say. I want to see Jey Uso versus Cody Rhodes. That's what I want to see. I want to see the super babyface champion versus the real hottest face in the company. And I want to see the heat check. And I want to see the resurgence of the original bloodline through that match. Because I think that is the best story to tell as we come full circle. Because Deuces Uses led to Cody Rhodes coming out on Monday Night Raw and saying that Jey Uso was now on Raw. So now he has the Intercontinental Championship. And whether he keeps it or not, doesn't really matter to me at this point, because the bigger story being told is Jey Uso is back to help his family and bring back the bloodline and take that title off of the guy and bring it back to the family. Except this time, he's not helping Roman. He wants to do it himself. So that even plays in line with the no yeet. Because it's like, okay, well, look, hey, you ain't got to want my help. Tell you what, though, I'll beat Cody since you ain't do it. So I want to see that.
So we got Cody versus Jey Uso for the Undisputed title.
Yes.
And it would be, I guess, would you say Gunther Brock, Braun Breaker?
Yeah, that's the match I like. That's the match I like. It's another one of those heel versus heel, but I mean, unfortunately, the heels are on fire.
Well, Braun, people want him to be a face now anyway.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? It's one of those things, like he's probably going to be regarded as the hottest tweener in the situation now. Because yeah, everybody else from where we look at it, they're just not ready yet. I would love to see what they're gonna do with Xavier Woods, but that don't mean he's gonna be competing for the for the world title. You know what I'm saying? That don't mean he's gonna do that.
Man, that shit did.
Kaiser ain't gonna face Gunther.
No, that shit did too. I would rather see Cody go up against CM Punk.
Okay.
Because this is for titles, y'all. Whoever listening to this or watching this, this is for the titles, not any grudge matches and shit like that. I would rather see Cody versus CM Punk because a lot of shit will be talked.
Oh, for sure.
Like the mic work on those two would be off the chain.
No, yeah.
I would rather see that for the Undisputed Championship. I would rather see Gunther versus Seth Rollins for the Super Intercontinental Championship. And then all of the bigger matches just come in. I would rather see those matches. New, fresh, the mic work could be straight. You know the matches is going to be off the chain. But I would want to see those two, especially the Cody and the Punk joint. Man, that would be the Dusty Rhodes mic work of the year. And I would have rather see Cody going into it, starting to become Homelander. And CM Punk. I want CM Punk to bring back Nexus.
Okay.
I want CM Punk to bring back Nexus. He be at NXT too much. I want to see him with a group of young wrestlers whooping old wrestlers' asses. That's what I want. And that's what I want. But I want Homelander Cody to be on his way, and then at WrestleMania, we finally get Homelander heel Cody Rhodes. 2025, Cody Rhodes should be Kurt Angle type heel. Fam, I rap y'all. I'm doing this for y'all. What? America. I got y'all.
Yeah.
Cody Rhodes, I want that for Cody. Speaking of the bloodline, moving on to the bloodline, Jimmy told Roman what I did not expect to hear. Hey, nigga, we need help. What was your thoughts of when you heard Jimmy be like, first of all, he allowed Jimmy to talk.
Yeah.
And then when you allow him to talk, he say, cuz, we need help. Like, and you know who we need. Never let your ass talk. What was your thoughts about that whole segment and the fact that, yes, Roman, you need some help?
Yeah. You know, the wildest thing about all of this to me is that Jimmy Uso was really still playing the character of the cousin that needed rehab. And now he back. Like, he ain't caused all this shit. Like, how is Jimmy the Fiend about to bring together the family members that he turned on? Like, literally, outside of Sami Zayn, Jimmy Uso caused all this. He the reason why the bloodline ain't the bloodline no more. Yeah. You kick Roman all in his face for your brother. Then you cost your brother the world title twice. Then you try to, then your little brother beat your ass because he see the play. But now here you back. Talking about we need help. No, brother, you need help. And I'm glad you're sober. And you realize it. Like, that's what this character is to me. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I know that was a little art imitating life, and I promise I didn't mean to bring it that close together like that. I was strictly talking about wrestling, I promise to God. But that's the first thing I see. The second thing is literally like, wow, Jey Uso is really the fucking man. Like, he's really the one, all puns intended, because the fact that now the tribal chief and the person that originally referred to himself as the tribal chief of the Uso Penitentiary, that they need the right-hand man, they need Lil Bro, and the crowd is like, yeah, y'all need Jay. That's an interesting dynamic, even though everything for Roman's return has been nothing short of phenomenal.
So that's why this becomes interesting to me, because you need help. It's four people though over there. It's Solo, it's Jacob, it's G.O.D. Mm-hmm. And this is you and Jimmy right now. You got your ass beat, Roman, at the end of SmackDown. You got the thumb to your throat. You was around there yelling. You was hurting shit. We ain't never seen you in that position. Or it's been a while since we've seen you in that position. Mm-hmm. So even if you get help, who coming outside of Jay? Which is why I hate that we've even went in this direction, but that's like Sami Zayn or another Samoan got to come to help you. And I don't want to see no other Samoans. This is no disrespect to Samoans, but I don't want this to be a tie on one of them tag teams. I don't want this to be a Samoan gangster party. I don't want, just because Roman is down, like, we got to get a whole bunch of Samoans. I've told y'all this.
Yeah.
This does not need to be the Samoan NWO. Yeah. It does not need to be OG NWO versus NWO Wolfpack. We don't need a Bloodline Wolfpack, and we don't need a Bloodline Hollywood. We don't need that.
Yeah, I agree.
I don't need y'all just bringing in all of Rikishi's kids just because it's a Bloodline fight. Mm. I don't want to, hell, I don't want this to even become like the, what's that? The Dungeon of Doom. Oh, when yeah, you just had a whole bunch of random old Hulk Hogan opponents that just randomly popped up on WCW Saturday night one day with King Iakea and Kevin Sullivan. That's like, yo, we're about to end Hulkamania. Like, no, I don't need a, matter of fact, for those who don't know, my favorite movie is City of God. If you know that movie, if you've seen that movie, you know my reference. I don't need a Lil Z versus Knockout Ned War. I don't need like a whole bunch of Samoans just coming up and it's like, all right, I want to be with you. And then it's like a Samoan Civil War. No, I don't want that. So they got to figure out this shit before we get to goddamn Survivor Series. because I don't need 8 Pacific Islanders wrestling for Pacific Island supremacy. I don't need that. I need good stories. But I don't want y'all just forcing Samoans in this because they're Samoan.
Yeah.
Because it gets away what we've been talking about in the first place, which is all of the black people being in one group, all of the white people being in one group, all of the Mexicans being in one group, all of the Pacific Islanders being in one group.
Yeah.
That irritates me. I'm all first black champ. I'm all with the struggle, my brother.
You know what I'm saying?
But I don't need like 3 versions of the Hurt Business.
Facts. Right?
Like I don't just because they black.
Yeah.
And that's what I don't want, because it's just gonna feel forced. It's gonna feel like you're bringing in green people into shit. It's gonna feel like how you tried to make Samoan number 2 Jimmy Snuka's cousin just because it was Jimmy Snuka. It's gonna feel like you want to make this person Arn Anderson because he looks like Ole. That's old school wrestling shit.
Yeah.
Like, that's old school wrestling shit. We smart enough, we have enough database in our database to know that Arn Anderson name is Marty and he ain't kin to Ole Anderson. Like, we know that shit. So that's what I hope does not happen. Does it come off sounding hella racist against Samoans? Yeah, it kind of. But it's the way that I said it, I could have changed it a little bit. At the same time, I meant what I said. I don't need Lance Annoy to just pop up. I don't need Samu and Samu other kids popping up. I don't need Naomi being in the bloodline because she's married to Jimmy. Mm-hmm. I don't need Nia Jax to be a part of the bloodline because, or some type of bloodline because she cousins with The Rock and all that shit. Tamina lost a whole bunch of weight. I don't need skinny Tamina to come through and be like, oh, I'm a part of this too. Like, I don't need a Samoan Royal Rumble.
Right. Right.
I just need a good ass storyline. And I don't want the WWE to just be like, oh, his last name's Fatu. Let's bring him in. Like, I don't need that. I need a good storyline. So they need to figure this shit out before we get to SummerSlam. I mean, they need to figure this out before we get to Survivor Series.
Mm-hmm.
Because War Games ain't 3-on-3, my nigga.
Right.
And it's barely 4-on-4.
Yeah, nah, facts.
It can be. Mm-hmm. But you gotta figure it out.
Yeah. I mean, It's looking like the other, well, the OG bloodline, I guess we'll call them, is going to go against the new one. That's what it looked like. And you know what? I'm not saying I'm against it, but make it compelling for me though. Just make it compelling for me. That's all. Sami Zayn is officially going to be the person that evens the odds, which is always crazy. It's crazy that Sami Zayn is about to be the equalizer amongst 7 Samoans. That's just wild to me. Sorry.
Yay. All I'm saying, man, is that the more y'all keep saying, the more y'all keep seeing a Samoan and just wanting to put them in the bloodline, kind of makes y'all racist too. I feel kind of bad saying that, but I don't. And even still, is it a foregone conclusion that if I ain't gonna do this to us, like they're gonna wait till the Survivor Series for Jimmy to just pop up? And that's the surprise person. I wonder how they're gonna do it. Like, is Jimmy gonna come to an episode of SmackDown and be like, "Cause my twin brother," Hey, yeah. Yeah. Even though we ain't seeing eye to eye, I'll help you. Because my brother say he needs some help. But Roman Reigns, you still need to feed me. And after the Survivor Series, you gonna see me. You wanna know why? Cause right now, you a man without a belt. And me, I'm the Intercontinental Champion. So right now, none of y'all got a belt. But me. Which means I'm the Tribal Chief. Now you might say the Gorilla of Destiny are the tag team champs. But them high cool kids.
Them high cool kids is nuts. But it's the truth though.
This ain't got nothing to do with it. They ain't even Samoan. They talking.
Oh man.
Hey, wait a minute. Hold on. I just thought about something. Before we move on. They called the Tonga Kid the Tonga Kid, but the Tonga Kid is really Samoan.
Trying to give all the Pacific Islanders love, I assume.
So was Vince McMahon really messing with Tongans? Was he messing with Samoans? Like, what would, because they went to WCW, became the Samoan SWAT team. Ain't no Tongan SWAT team.
That's true. Hey, listen, man. Hey, I think the person that has the answer to those things is Jimmy Snuka for some reason. I just think he has all the Vince McMahon answers.
Yeah. Hey man, Damien, what we do? He said, "Start to feel like what we do? What we do?" Hey man, I'm just saying, I don't feel the need to bring in every Samoan to be on there. It just feels like NWO Wolfpack.
Yeah.
When you start putting niggas, we had this conversation on the show. If y'all missed it, then I'll repeat it. Once you start putting random ass niggas in the NWO was done.
Not for sure.
As a fan of Buff Bagwell in the NWO, I'm not. Still, like when you start putting Scott Norton
and Horace, like when Horace was in it, I was like, okay, that's
Vincent, Stevie Ray. When you start putting the Butcher. Once you start putting random ass niggas in the NWO, that was dead. Like you put too many jobbers in that group that's supposed to be second to none.
Yeah.
I ain't saying Scott Norton was a jobber either, but he was a jobber to the stars.
Yeah.
Once you start putting random ass niggas in the NWO, you ain't see random ass niggas in the flock.
Yeah. Because they started as randoms, though. It's okay if you start as a random and you flourish.
Okay, you're right. Once they start putting random Mexicans in the LWO, like once you put Silver King in the LWO, El Dandy, the LWO should have just been Eddie Guerrero, Rey Mysterio Jr., Hoover 2 Guerrero, and Psychosis.
Yeah,
they did not need El Dandy and Silver King in that match. They did not need La Parca.
Hey, man. La Parca was getting busy with the chairs, though.
He was supposed to be the person going up against the LWO. Once you start putting, like, Villano 5 in the LWO.
Heck, no. Yo,
what's your start? If you was in Mexico, then it's one thing. But you a WCW fan? Milano number 5 should not be in the LW. Now you just Now you're just picking wrestlers. If you got a mask on, we grab you. Like, nah, that's all. That sounds very bad. But hey, before we get out of here, man, I did think that we shouldn't have a show without acknowledging the Black Girl Magic that we saw on SmackDown the other day. It was great to see like Black Girl Magic, on NXT when Jade Cargill and Bianca Belair teamed up with Kalani Jordan in the three women match against Fatal Influence. But then to see Jakara Jackson and Lash Legend pop up and ask for a title shot, and not only get it, but get it on SmackDown. Mm-hmm. I thought that was dope to see. I don't think I've ever seen the WWE match where four women went against each other for a title.
Mm.
That definitely had to be Black history, because I can't remember four Black women in the WWE at the same damn time. This is like the best the WWE has been to Black women. Yeah. With that being said, hey, Triple H, you ain't shit. You want to know why Triple H ain't shit? So why Kevin Owens them had to interrupt the Black Girls Rock match?
Hey, to make it seem like it's not obvious pandering and to bury the quote. Like, I mean, hey, look, I am not trying to sound ungrateful, right? We have a special relationship with that word here at the First Black Champ podcast. We have a special relationship with the word grateful. But however, Triple H, Levesque, has went from not seeing color, not seeing gender, to it being a black history moment every 22 minutes. and is this what y'all want? Just let me know. Because, no, it don't look forced. Don't look forced, because the talent he has is great. However, this is fresh off him not seeing color, not seeing gender, putting it all on talent.
Yeah, and B, I feel you, but that B story for the night only happened after Bad Blood on NXT. The Black Show. Is it literally the Black Show? Because they changed their colors. They're black and gray. They look like the Raiders. So literally, they went to the Black Show, had the Black girls roll up on each other like goddamn school days. Tisha Campbell and the dark skinned girl. That shit fucked up on the show.
Oh man.
They was walking up, and then all of a sudden Lash Legend and Jakara Jackson roll up. And the only thing that I could think of is the dark-skinned girls and the light-skinned girls on school days. It felt like Good and Bad Hair was gonna start playing after that segment. But then they wrestled. But then I was like, why is Kevin Owens out here messing up the flow of this Black Girl Magic match?
Mm.
And because I like Lash Legend and Jakara Jackson. Mm-hmm. I like they was in this spot. So let me first say, I'm a fan of Metaphor. So mm-hmm. I love that they was in this spot and they could get seen. And I did hate, not because they were Black women. Mm-hmm. I was just like, oh man, so we about to get suspended Kevin Owens out here to plead his case? Nah, bro, like, do that shit via satellite.
He's like, I too know what it's like to feel marginalized. Like people don't see me.
Yo, Marge gonna listen to this episode like, y'all was wilder. Y'all was wild. I too know how it feels to not be seen. Kevin Owens revolution or evolution. No. But it goes to my question. You kind of answered it. But it does feel like Triple H is now like, ah, you guys are right. I fucked up.
Yeah.
Black people in front.
Yeah, man. And it's like, if it wasn't for the fact that so many black people love Shawn Michaels and he's just now getting hip to it, it would look super nasty. You know what I'm saying? Like, because even Swerve, like, there was a lot for Triple H to get in front of the last couple of weeks. Like, let's be clear. Because Mercedes Moné and Swerve go up to the Breakfast Club and they really don't do the best job of making it seem like Triple H really don't see color. So, but then on the flip side, his homie, you know what I'm saying, one of his guys, Shawn Michaels happens to be, Shawn Michaels is turning into the realest OG wrestler that wants to see black people win. And, you know, between that and everything that they do with Sexy Red, even though I'm not the biggest fan of it, but Paige, hey, my man is hilarious.
Ethan Page
was on fire. Now that is great, like, micmanship, I guess, or if you want to call it. But no, to sincerely say all of that, and I mean, again, there is so much that Triple H is kind of like just skating. He's skating around, and I really do think it's because of Shawn Michaels, because there was a funny light on Paul there, and this all looks like damage control to me, only because I've been paying attention to the moves that the shows are making now that he's made the comments that he's made, and there is no follow-up scrum. Like, there is no, like, he's gonna wait to the next PLE to address anything else, because he doesn't have to do interviews. He doesn't have to go anywhere and hear any of this. But the flip side of this is that first week, when it's only one black person on TV, please don't say nothing to the black IWC members or people that just sympathize. Like, just please don't say nothing, because what we're going to be getting is just subtle pacifying to get us through the year. Oh, once a quarter, let's get this biggest blackest show ever off the ground, or this biggest blackest week of the first, second, third, and fourth quarter, and now we're going to go back to regularly scheduled programming. Like, that doesn't do us a service either. That's to me, that's a bigger disservice than maybe not even seeing us as much.
Yeah. I just hope my man is not out here trying to pander. Because if he is, that means we're about to see Oba Femi. And you know what? If he goes to destroy Jey Uso, I wouldn't be mad. Or LA Knight, I wouldn't be mad. If we're going to do the pandering, let's do it right. Hey, it's basically what I'm saying. And they did it right in this case with the women. Mm-hmm. You know, just don't just find some, like, random black jobber. Like, oh, see, I put a black person on the screen.
Yeah. Yeah, please don't.
Please don't. All right, man. We pretty much said our guarantees.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, this has been a hilarious show. This show is built on the fabric of racism and wrestling. Accidentally. But real quick, I want to answer Damian's question. Mm.
Why isn't anyone shitting on AEW for being racist? Let's be real. If we're gonna bash Triple H for not helping blacks, why not go out to TK? Because people get the bullshit he deal with. First of all, Damien, I'm not saying that you're racist, but anytime I see somebody say the blacks, that feels a little put people on that motherfucker.
Blacks.
Messing with you, Damien. I like that you listen to the show.
We appreciate
you. Just put people. When you say the blacks, it's just it's like the blacks, man. It's just you got to put people next to it. Like when white people used to yell at black people, the blacks over there, they just don't. That's all I'm saying. Oh, don't say the blacks. Black people, black women, black men. When you say the blacks,
yeah. No, the blacks are on the west side of town.
Yeah, no, just playing. You have to clip this one. That, this part is funny, yeah. But. So your point, so there was a small minority of people mm-hmm. that started to grow. Now you good, yeah, Damien. We're making fun. But we're serious and making fun at the same time. Next time, just put black people on that bitch. But you're right. We've actually talked about it on this show, mm-hmm. how it just seems like that the same people, the same things and stuff was going over on AEW. Scorpio Sky was like the first person to get like all of the titles but the world title. Mm-hmm. He, at one point, Scorpio Sky was the most prominent black person in AEW, not named Brandi Rhodes. Mm-hmm. And then he got a match with Chris Jericho and just like literally damn near disappeared. Mm-hmm. We've not seen Ricky Starks since Ricky Starks started kicking it with his friend, Cody Rhodes. Mm-hmm. We dig the Swerve Strickland thing and we love it, mm-hmm. but I ain't gonna front. I was hella disappointed that Bobby Lashley didn't pop up at Wrestle Dream yesterday. The only reason why I watched the Swerve Strickland segment is to see what they was gonna do with Bobby Lashley, because we knew that the Hurt Syndicate, I think, mm-hmm. is what they'd be called, but mm-hmm. the MVP and Shelton Benjamin, we knew they was gonna come looking for an ass. Mm-hmm. But as my man Brando just said, they got greater issues.
Yeah.
As much as I thought that match between Jon Moxley and Bryan Danielson was dope, the finish to me was terrible. Mm. You can have a great night, but if the finish of the night is terrible, that's what you're going to remember.
Yeah.
Like, I could go get drunk and have a hella good time, but then we go to a bar and they'll let me come in, even though I got tight pants. I don't fuck up the night, unless it's going to be some shit that happens after that yeah. makes me go, all right, man, fuck them.
Right.
If I am watching a movie and the movie is good, but the ending is whack, you're going to remember the ending. If you go and you're trying to get with this girl and you finally get her and the shot huff, you just gonna be like, oh, fuck everything. Goes to showers huff. Yeah. It's natural that we can like things until it gets to the climax, and then the climax comes, and then it's huff, and we're down on everything. Mm-hmm. And that's been my complaint with AEW. Mm-hmm. And it's my complaint to the point where I don't want black people being put in a prominent position if the ending is going to be whack.
Yeah.
I know some people were a fan of what they saw with him and Adam Page. I wasn't a fan of a black man getting a needle put in his mouth by a white dude. Mm-hmm. But it's more pressing issues in that company other than racism. Not saying it's not one.
Yeah.
Just saying that y'all got to fix a whole bunch of shit.
Yeah. And, you know, and Damien, to kind of piggyback on some of the things that both Brandon and Bang are saying here. You know what? The real issue with AEW is that they have not built their white males 18 to 40, 34 demo consistently to where they can count on them every single week to not only view but patronize them, and that's the thing that they're running against. You know, the biggest star, who was also the co-creator, had left their company to be an even bigger star. You know, I still believe that AEW is still dealing with the Cody Rhodes effect, and how just that didn't go. So yeah, and now, and look, just like you're saying, look, Adam Cole, that didn't go as planned.
But that's because I'm confused, because MJF, and this is the shit that I'm talking, this is the issues with AEW. Mm-hmm. When MJF came back, he turned or he attacked Adam Page because Adam Page is the person who fucked him over. Oh, yeah. And Adam Page went heel with his niggas. Mm-hmm. But I know they hit the thing with MJF and Daniel Garcia. Mm-hmm. So when MJF he comes out and he attacks Daniel Garcia, but then Adam Cole comes out and it's like, yo, Adam Cole is the good guy, but he the one who made MJF tweak in the first place. Mm-hmm. So how did this change? Why did this? They have so much going on with just the storytelling of the product, mm-hmm. where racism is probably fourth on the list.
Yeah, I mean, and you know, and again, I think AEW, especially as we look back, I think they really bought into the hype of the internet, the IWC, the Clubhouse alumni. I think they really bought into that. Hey, yeah, man. We got enough money to compete with the WWE. It's like, no, you don't. And that shouldn't even be your goal. You got to get better than NWA. You got to get better than TNA. You got to get more notoriety than MLW. You have to do these things. You got to take out like the smaller, or at least compete somewhat on a scale with the smaller businesses, the smaller organizations, even if you do have a network slot, even if you do have a billionaire at the helm that has money to burn, because let nothing distract you. The Bryan Danielson thing, although it's great for them from a wrestling standpoint, from a product standpoint, it didn't bring them the cash. I think it didn't give them the ROI that they expected. Neither did Jon Moxley, neither did Sting, neither did Adam Copeland. They've spent a lot of money to make this product seem larger than life, and they're still not out the gates yet. So for me personally, I'm not worried about the racism factor for them specifically, because they're looking for the person that's a definite draw with their company, and they don't have it yet. And when I say a definite draw, it's like, who outside of the Breakfast Club wants to talk to anybody on the AEW roster today? Like, I'll just call it and just say, well, Charlamagne the God wants to talk to black wrestlers. And that's just, and that's it. You know what I'm saying? But can he go on Jimmy Kimmel? Can he go on the Today Show? Can he go, like, where else can Swerve go where people are well aware of who he is, what he does, and they're excited to talk to him? And if you don't have that in the company, that's your issue. It's not really racism. It's the fact that they're probably bleeding money and all of their cash cows ain't moved no milk yet.
Only thing I can say on that is shouts out to the TV deal with goddamn Warner. I think it's like $185 million, but hey, they got that, and then ratings went down right after they got it. But yeah, before we go again, remember, Heels Have Eyes 3, Still Praying. Westside Gunn and company will be at the UIC Forum on November 2nd here at the crib, Chicago. Going to have DJ Premier and
Pete Rock
up in the building. Special performances, but there will be a wrestling match, ladies and gentlemen, at Heels Have Eyes 3, Still Praying. Sami Callihan, Nick Gage in a Still Praying match. That means it's going to be a lot of violence that's going on before they get the rapping. And I'm going to be there in the front row. I want to have a chance to hit somebody with a chair, but I'm not stapling nobody's forehead. So West Side Gun, let's make that happen.
Yeah. There you go, man. Hey. Get your death match contribution on. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Hey, look, we appreciate y'all checking out this evening episode. Evenings are actually pretty lit, as you can see. Yeah. Hey man, we appreciate y'all the conversation, contributing to the conversation tonight, the questions, the laughs, all greatly appreciated. Obviously, Bang and I can do the show by ourselves, but you being a part of the FBC community with your engagement, it makes it that much more special. For that, we sincerely and humbly thank you. And always know, man, if you ever want to talk about wrestling in an unconventional way, you do so by checking out the first Black Champ podcast, Pick, VP, DOC, and we are out. Fuck Johnny Wrestling.
And what we? Damn, see, Damien, that's nasty, fam.
You want to see a titty match? Yikes.
Nah, you're the only one that wants to see that.
The Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall is turning up the heat this summer. Buy now with no down payment and no payments for 120 days.
That means no payments until fall. No payments until fall.
With over 8,000 cars, trucks, and SUVs available, there's something for every budget and lifestyle. Pick your ride, get approved, and drive home today with nothing due until autumn.
But hurry, these offers won't last forever.
Visit Jeff Weiler Columbus Auto Mall and take advantage while selection is strong.